عدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم
محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Esteemed, respected listeners, we welcome you to this program, الدرة الفردة. الدرة الفردة شرح قصيدة البردة. The exclusive pearl, explaining and detailing the stanzas of Qasida Burda. May Allah Azza wa Jal accept Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal alimul hakim rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli rabbi hab li hukma walhiqni bis salihin waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Remember, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Many of the scholars, the experts of hadith, they start with this hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyat, as a reminder for them and for the ummah that is going to read the kitab, Mishkat Sharif. You will find as well other kitabs where it is Riyadu Salihin. It is mentioned, innamal a'malu bin niyat. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi also, innamal a'malu bin niyat. And this is drawing your attention to what is my very objective. If a person says, write something but do not think, just write without thinking. And then he says after that, now pick up a pen and now think relatively to what you are going to write. And have a mindset, have an intention ready as to what you are going to write. Then you will see that this now will have a major impact and a major difference. So when you are writing, the second time you will find you have written something that is valuable. Whereas when you just picked up that pen and you wrote, firstly, it won't be neat, haphazard. And number two, it won't be anything of impact, anything of meaningful words. Absolutely barren of that. It will just be something that you just wrote for the sake of writing. So like this, our intention, when we start something, we should have an active intention as to why am I doing this. Yeah. So inshallah, our intentions are such. One is we will be referring to Mufti, our Honorable Ustad, and there is Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab Damat Barakatuhu. His Hadith Kitab's name is Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda. So we will be referring to it a lot, inshaAllah, in this program. And we will start off with the very objectives that Mufti Saab had written this kitab. And remember, there is many, if you look at the explanations that are detailing the stanzas of Qasida Burda, there are many. So why did Mufti Saab also choose to also write one when Mufti Saab is an expert in tafsir, but yet took out time in this aspect, and there is specific reasons why. And he mentions the four types which is found with regards to Qasida Burda. One is the Salafis, they reject the stanzas. So they on the one opposite extreme, they reject the different stanzas. So to mend this and to then give the ummah something where we do not reject, we will include it. But remember, we go to type number two, and that will, it will fit in like a puzzle, because that's the one extreme. And the other extreme now is the Barelvis, and what they called the Ghali Sufia. They use certain stanzas of the Qasida Burda, and that is for their ulterior motives. That is to push their agenda of using Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and having this belief of theirs, which is Hazir Nazir. We'll get into that as time goes. Mukhtar Kul. Thus, this Sharah, which Mufti Saab has put together, Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab, seeks to refute these false beliefs. To say Nabi Karim Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is with us. To put a bed, I saw in one of the masjids at that time, I didn't know that this masjid was following this particular belief. So when I saw, I just went to read Dhuhr Salah, I was late also, this was way before. And then I saw a bed in front, and I'm wondering, what's the bed doing here? As I'm walking into the masjid already, I heard these chandeliers shaking, and while the wind blows, it makes that sound, like as you're entering a temple, and it has those ringing of the bells. So here they've got chandeliers. See the extremes people go through. Now, as you enter the masjid then you'll see this mattress there. And I was wondering, trying to figure out, I actually sat after Salah, trying to figure out, what is this? Not even a mattress alone. It was a base with a mattress in the front of the masjid. I'm wondering, what is this now? It wasn't Ramadan to say someone was sitting for i'tikaf. So then I figured, okay, they have this belief. And I then found out which masjid this is. Well, we're not going to go into those details. But just to inform you, alert you, the extremes. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not omnipresent, because then this would be sharing a quality with Allah azza wa jal in this sense. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is totally free of this. So this mattress, what do they... Well, you could just understand when they put a chair and then people honor the chair and they say Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is coming to honor our gathering. So this, we don't go to those extremes as well. So Mufti Saab mentions in this kitab, Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab Damat Barakatuh, says, Barelvis and the Ghali Sufia, they use stanzas of the Qasida Burda for their ulterior motives. And then Mufti Saab also makes dua and he says, Allah Azza wa Jal, make it such that they read the sharah, this means the explanation, the details of these stanzas, and turn to the straight path. That's the second type. The third type is the amilin and the ta'wizat. Ta'wizat, you'll say in how you pronounce ta'wizat, peddlers, because if I say it correctly, then, or trying to say it correctly at least, you'll be confused. So these ta'wizat, peddlers, those who are fond of these amulets, they come with these, they write certain things, they give it to you. So, and this, we're going to explain a little bit of details with regards to this. They have absolutely nothing to do with the meanings of Qasida Burda, but rather their aim is for worldly purposes. Through some, they earn direct money, and this is through their Piri Muridi business, which they utilize it for this. So we must say here that we don't reject to become a murid of a sheikh, all of this. That is there. But to utilize an agenda, to utilize Qasida Burda for your motives, to propagate your false beliefs just in the name of money. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِّنَ الدُّنْيَا. He sells his deen for futile price. So, yeah, just in the name of money, they will write down certain stanzas of Qasida Burda, and then out of this, you become their murid as such. And I mentioned to you previously, one of my uncles, they were sharp in this matter, so they approached, one person approached them and they said, this was in India, he was visiting. So he said, he was on a tour. So they said to him, you know what, they could see he's got money. You know, if you use this sheet, if you buy this sheet, you'll never ever suffer from poverty. What's the price of the sheet? You know, they're going to put some extravagant prices there. So he presented it and he said, this sheet has been on the qabr of so and so for so many years, and if you purchase it, you'll never suffer from poverty. So my uncle said to him, okay, I just got one question for you. If you telling me I purchased this sheet, I will never ever suffer from poverty, what about you? What about you who's been selling the sheet for how many years now? He gave the answer. And you're still suffering from poverty? Isn't it strange that you didn't pluck up the courage to invest in the sheet so you would never ever suffer from poverty if it was so true? And there he was totally turned into smithereens in terms of a response. So Remember the two extremes here. Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahab Damat Barakatuh speaks about his honorable father. And that is Hazrat Maulana Shamsul Hadi Rahmatullah Ali. And he passed away in 2009. And he would teach Siraji, Sharifiya, Qasida Burda in the month of Ramadan, Ramadanul Mubarak. And to take benefit, students from far and abroad would attend. He would give permission, Mufti Saab's father, Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab Damat Barakatuh's father, would give permission for students to read, and he would instruct them specifically that do not read to make a worldly profit or to conquer it. Rather, read as a prescription of love, of gaining that love, that exclusive love for Nabi Kareem Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab says, in that very same area, Pakistan, Shah Mansur, and that is these durus would take place of Qasida Burda by his honorable father, and that is Mulana Shamsul Hadi Rahmatullah Ali. Mufti Saab says, till today he's honored this legacy. And when he goes to Shah Mansur, Pakistan, he continued teaching Qasida Burda in the month of Ramadan. That is why you'll find Mufti Saab every Ramadan he goes, and this is it. In the month of Ramadan, he continues this legacy of his father. What does this teach us? This teaches us the good that we learn from our parents, our teachers. You continue with that goodness, and that is their investment for them. Investment one is you give money, sadaqatul jariyah. One is you practice what they taught you and you make the intention, Ya Allah, for this that I'm doing, you forgive them. You forgive them. The child who continues, either he becomes pious or continues to become pious, that is coolness for that parent, deceased parent in the qabr. So this is vital, it's important that we carry on the legacy of our parents in terms of that which is in line with the Sharia. So the fourth type is, now we spoke about the first type, we said the Salafis, they totally reject certain stanzas, not all certain. So Mufti Saab mentions that we've then refuted these false beliefs and explanations which they give. Number two, this is the Barelvis. They go to the other extreme and they have their own agenda pushing these beliefs of Hadir, Nadir, all of this. Mufti Saab rejects it and he made dua for them. Number three, we said those who use the Tawizat. Tawizat meaning Tawidah, Ta'awud, you'll say in Arabic. Ta'awud, Ta'weed. So that is when you say Mu'awwadatain. So you're referring to Surah Al-Falaq, Surah Al-Nas. So they use this here, but these are, so what is used and what is mentioned in a hadith that you cannot reject. Remember to reject jinnat also, to say that it is not you rejecting Quran Sharif. There's a chapter dedicated, Suratul Jinn. Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the objective of his creation. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the jinn kind and the mankind except that they should worship me. So the jinn kind is mentioned. You cannot reject, go to those extremes now. Always keep the middle path in all of this. So the third type, we said to you, these extreme Tawizat people, if you call them, they use stanzas of the Qasida Burda and they use it to make money, and they will even have murids, piri muridi business they will do. So that is all that is mentioned. Number four, the fourth type, is the detailed explanations, and this is actually taught by Ulama-i Deoband. So what would then become the reason why Mufti Saab would write this or explain this? He says, certain stanzas explain contrary to the aqaid and masail of Deoband. So Mufti Ridaul Haq Saab says, this weak slave rectifies those explanations in such a way it coincides again with the beliefs of Ulama-i Deoband. So certain stanzas, even though it's been written by Ulama-i Deoband, but it's written against the true beliefs
the true aqaid of Ulama-i Deoband. So you can see where this is all heading towards. This is a Qasida Burda, but its objective is, it plays a major, major role in terms of rectifying our aqidah in a soothing manner. This is the objective of this particular detailed explanation of Qasida Burda. They say, the masala is difficult, but you present it in a way that is easy. So this will become easier for people to digest, for people to swallow. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but it becomes easier when the taste is then adjusted, that bitterness is not felt anymore. So we involved in so much of false actions, which we just because as we were growing up, we had come with this now. As I was speaking to someone this weekend, and he said to me, you know, we have such extremists. And he's originally a Shafi, but he says, because we grew up in Hanafi madrasas, now we follow the Hanafi madhab, and we've decided. And he said, you can advise me further on this. So I said, definitely. If you're more educated in this, but I said, you cannot choose certain things. You'll take from there. He said, no, we're not going to do this. But I'm saying he's from originally a Shafi background, which is very good, mashallah. But then because of the madaris here, he's adopted the Hanafi way and the methodology, the four schools. There's no five schools. So you'll see, they will say, al-fiqhu al-madhaib al-khamsa. Fiqh according to the five schools. No, there's no five schools. There's four schools of thought. Al-fiqhu al-madhahib al-arba'ah, the four schools of thought, the four schools of jurisprudence. So you are saying strange things which people do. And here you see, people will go to these, they will have this 1 year, must get together because it's 1 year since my father passed away. And so many, that in itself is now a bid'ah. It's an innovation. Then together with that, it's bid'ah ala bid'ah. It's bid'ah upon bid'ah. Another bid'ah again takes place. More and more. He says the one man, he comes from a Malay background. He says the one person, he went into a trance and he's floating around. And he says, but my children, they went for their family members. The whole ceremony of, I don't know if I want to call it, I don't know what to call it, because if they say 1 year, after 1 year you've got to have these. But he said such strange things they witnessed, and they decided, you know what, we're not sitting here. And they plucked up the courage, they stood out, sat outside. And the family felt a bit offended in that, but he said, no, we're going to go ahead with this. They said, we're going to abide by what we know best. Look at the courage, youth, youngsters. And they just decided they'll sit outside. So you find all of this, it's creeping in. And if we don't eradicate it, it remains. And then what happens? The next generation thinks, but we carried on with this. So we have to see now. We have to sift out the truth and see, okay, this is haq, this is proven. We'll carry on with this. This year, there's no proof for it. There's no evidence, and that no general, ordinary person can do. It's got to be a person who is well acquainted with the Sharia, well acquainted with the Ahadith, the Quran, Majid, Fiqh, all of this. So here Mufti Ridaul Haq Sahib comes and teaches us that, see, this is what is taking place. And the reason for this, it's got a very, very aqaid nature to this very explanation of Qasida Burda. Mufti Saab then says he learned Qasida Burda by his sheikh, and that is Mufti Hassan, Mufti Mahmudul Hassan, Mufti Mahmud Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali. And he's buried here in South Africa, in Germiston. May Allah Azza wa Jal Nawwar Allahu Marqadahu. May Allah Azza wa Jal illuminate his resting abode. And he was the Mufti A'zam of Darul Ulum Dioban, as well as Jami'a Madahirul Ulum, Mufti Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayh, would come yearly for 2 or 3 months to South Africa. This Mufti Ridaul Haqsab is saying. His Sheikh used to come 2 or 3 months to South Africa yearly, on a yearly basis. 1 year, he says, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, Mulan Azamwa Shabir Saluji, Damat Barakatu, Mufti Mahmud, Mufti Muhammad Ali, Papoli, Damat Barakatu, and few others were present. Hafidhahumullah, we say for. So Mufti Muhammad Ali Papoli, Damat Barakatu, our Honorable Ustad, who taught us Hadith, various other kitabs, right? But Tirmidhi was the last kitab that we learned by Mufti Muhammad Ali Papoli, Damat Barakatu. So they would sit, Zuma Shabir Saluji, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, Mufti Mahmud, Mufti Muhammad Ali Papoli. Mufti Muhammad Ali would read the stanzas, and Mufti Mahmud Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayh would explain those where there is difficulty in understanding. So it is almost certain, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab says, it is almost certain that Mufti Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayh learned the Qasida Burda from his Sheikh, and that is Hazrat Mulana Zakariya Kandelwi Rahmatullah Alayh. Because Hazrat Mulana Zakariya Rahmatullah Alayh had a habit of teaching Qasida Burda and reading it and explaining the stanzas in that. Now, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab says that he got his ijazat, permission. Who would ever think you get a permission and ijazat for Qasida Burda? But you do. So it goes back. So Mufti Ridaul Haqsab got his ijazat from Hazrat Mulana Sayyid Mahmud Sandal, Babaji. And he got his ijazat from Sheikh of Tariqat, Wali Ahmad Sahib. And he received his permission from Mujahid Fi Sabilillah, Sheikh Najmuddin, where he received it from Maruf Sheikh Mulana Akhund Abdul Ghafur Sawati Rahmatullah Alayh. So this is that chain that goes there. Now we want to speak about one, two aspects here. Mufti Saab mentions about point number three, where we spoke about those who do ta'wizat and do all of this. He says, I'm not opposed to it. It's just I didn't have that inclination to it. And he says it's his weakness, that he doesn't have that inclination towards becoming a amil or doing all of this. Upon occasion, we went to Hazrat Mufti Saab and we asked him for, when one of our, just prior to one of the babies being born, we said, can we have water? We'll present the water if you can just read Surah Maryam on it. Because someone said this is very beneficial. And so you're reading Quran, and Mufti Saab said, no, he doesn't have ijazat to do that, no permission to do that. So we respect it, and we didn't end up doing it again, because I found that to be an answer which we abided by. So I'm just explaining to you all of this here, because Mufti Saab mentions that he didn't have an inclination to it. And his father, his honorable father, that is Hazrat Mulana Shamsul Hadi Rahmatullah Alayh, passed away 2009. And his Sheikh Mufti Mahmud Gangoi Rahmatullah Alayh, they were experts in that field. They were experts in that field. So he said, I'm not opposed to it. It's just I didn't have an inclination towards it. But we must keep in mind that point number three, when we set out the objectives, is that these ta'wizat people who would go, would utilize it for their own agenda and to feed their own stomachs, not just to feed it, but rather to have that to go beyond the limits in terms of now it's become, they become power hungry, money hungry. And now it's all about that. So then they use these stanzas for that purpose. So we've mentioned that to you. Now let's speak about, we're going to speak about the profile of the author of Qasida Burda. We're going to discuss this now. But before we do that, it's vitally important that we understand what is a name, what is a laqab, and what is the third type, the kunniyah. the name, the laqab, and the kunniya. So we want to discuss these three aspects, inshallah.
حقيقته قوم النيا متسلوا عنه بالحلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فمبلغ العلم فيه أنه بشر وأنه خير خلق الله كلهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم وكل آية رسل الكرام بها فإنما فصلت من نوره بهم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فإنه شمس فضل هم كواكبها يظهرن أنوارها للناس في ظلم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم حتى إذا طلعت في الكون عما هداها العالمين وأحيت سائر الأمم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أكرم بخلق نبي زانه خلق.
So to understand, before we go to the author's name, laqab, as well as his kunniya, let's first understand. Okay, name we all understand. That's the name that you are given seventh day after you are born. You are given a name, Yahya, Aisha, whatever the name may be. On the seventh day, your parents named you. Then after that, as you grew up, perhaps you became a very tall person. So they would say, Yahya at-Tawil, Yahya at-Tawil. Because you become so tall. So this name, this nickname, what we'll say, has been given to you. At-Tawil, he's known. Yahya, not just Yahya, but you want to make it more specific. So you'll say, Yahya at-Tawil. So that is known now as your laqab. That is known as your laqab. Understand well, when it comes to laqab, you'll see in this word of the Quran Sharif, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions here that when it comes to this here, you turn to Surah Al-Hujarat, that is chapter 49, verse number 11. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not address each other utilizing offensive nicknames. So Al-Qab is the plural of Laqab. Al-Qab is the plural of Laqab, nickname. So, do not address each other utilizing offensive nicknames. So look at the Quran Sharif, so specific with regards to these aspects, a principle we can learn, that when addressing someone, so someone is thin, highly thin, so you say, you call him Mr. Bones. Someone is, so you use all these words, but that person doesn't like it. This is not permissible. This is totally, totally prohibited. Quran Sharif, verse of the Quran Sharif, وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. You're not allowed. This is haram, sinful. You become a sinner, and you're doing it openly, and you don't care. You're hurting the next person's feelings. Imagine that person has to make a dua against you because you are saying these words. So we should be very, very, amongst friends especially, this is very, very common where you use a derogatory title which the person doesn't like often. Then this is not permissible. But if the person likes it, he's okay, he's accepted it, he's fine with it. But how would a person, sometimes people are very good at hiding their inner feelings. Inside they are breaking down. So what happens then? You are still, that pain is there. So that's why refrain, just refrain from it. If it's a good title or it's a title that he himself refers to, then that becomes okay. But choose nice names. Choose nice names. And if nicknames as well. So laqab, this is referring to the nickname, what people know him to be. At-Tawil, I gave you an example. You will know sometimes the person's not offended by it. It's now he's reached such a level in his life that in that aspect, so a person is blind, but he's accomplished so much, so he doesn't mind to be called blind. So Muhammad al-A'mash, you'll know, Muhammad the blind, and people, he was fine with it. So there, it was not to insult or ridicule the person, and as long as he was fine with it, then it was perfectly, it was okay. So nicknames you will get, different types. You call a person, you know that person, and I don't want to use a specific name, but you say al-Himar. And this now becomes a laqab for someone else. This is unquestionably haram and prohibited. You cannot do this. So you get three types. One is to praise the person. One is the type to identify the person. And the one is to insult the person. The third type is not acceptable. So we explain to you name. We explain to you laqab. And now we explain to you what is kunniya. Kunniya, often it is found, it starts with Abu. So you will say, the real Shaykhul Hadith of this Ummah. Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Abu Khadija, so the father of Khadija. Umme Salih, right? The mother of Salih. Umme Hafsa, the mother of Hafsa. So they would use this, the kunniya, to exalt and honor someone. So this is one other aspect to it. So we've got the name, you'll find with people, we've got the name, we've got the laqab, and we've got the kunniya. Let's take Abu Jahl for example. Did you know that Abu Jahl's name, what was his name? Abu Jahl, his name was Amr. Amr. His name was Amr. And Amr ibn Hisham. And he was the son of Hisham. And Hisham was the son of Mughira. But I'm saying to you, did you ever know that Abu Jahl's name is Amr? But nobody, exactly, we all know him by his kunniya, the name that was given to him. Now if you take Abu Jahl, what does it mean? Abu Jahl means the father of ignorance. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was fine with giving this title. What did Abu Jahl do? You must know, you'll find this incident and it always captures the inner emotions when we read it in Fadail Amal. The first martyr of Islam, Hazrat Sumayyah radiallahu anha. It was a female, Hazrat Sumayyah radiallahu anha. And who was this total, brutal murderer? It was Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl's name, or his, let's say, rather, his kunniya amongst the Arabs was Abu al-Hakam. Abu al-Hakam. That meant the father of wisdom. He used to put together all of these powerful words and responses and always, you know, a man of what they, amongst their circles, a man of might in their circles in terms of hikmah, wisdom. But it just goes to show, when you do not have wisdom, or let's rather say this, when your wisdom is not defined by those who understand wisdom in its totality, then unfortunately you are lacking of wisdom. Wisdom is when you understand the Quran and Sunnah and you follow, even if you don't understand the intricacies of how they extract masailat, but you follow because you know this is Quran and Sunnah. You follow, and how do you do this? You follow a madhab and you stick to it, you hold on to it. Then you reach your destination safely and soundly. And not just don't you reach, it's that holiday that you've been really, really waiting for. And you just put down your bags and you say, what a beautiful palace. This is Jannah. Innal abrara lafi na'im. Verily the righteous, certainly, most certainly the righteous, they will be in ever bliss. Lafi na'im. So there, we want to reach that destination. So Abul Hakam was his kunya given amongst his circles, but amongst the circles of the believers, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the rest of the honorable Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he was known as Abu Jahl, the father of ignorance. So that's kunya. Name was Amr, kunya was Abu Jahl. And we explained to you then, laqab, that's your nicknames. May Allah Azza wa Jal grant us the understanding, the ability. We're going to now, since you understand this so well, so we're going to go to what is the laqab, what is the kunya, the lineage of our honorable author of Qasida Burda.
وللتسم تغين الدارين من يديه إلا استلم تنادى من خير مستلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم لا تنكر الوحيا من رؤياه إن له قلبا إذا نامت العينان لم ينام مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم فذاك حين بلوغ من نبوته فليس ينكر فيه حال محتلم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم تبارك اللهم وحي بمكتسب ولا نبي على غيب بمتهم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم آياته الحر لا يخفى على أحد بدونها العدل بين الناس لم يقوم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم كم أبرأت وصيبا باللمس رائحته وأطلقت.
So his name, well, let's start off with his laqab. His laqab was Sharafuddin. Sharafuddin, that was his nickname, Sharafuddin. Sharaf means to honor. Sharafuddin, the honor of deen, you'll say. The honor of Islam. Imagine this. What is see? One is you can use a word that is going to hurt the next person. Or the other is you use a title that is going to honor the next person. And Sharaf in itself means to honor. Sharafuddin, the honor of deen. Kunniya, Abu Abdullah. Abu Abdullah, that was his kunniya. The father of Abdullah. Name, the name was, of our honorable author, Qasida Burda, Muhammad ibn Sa'id. Muhammad, the son of Sa'id, who is the son of Hamad, who is the son of Muhsin, who is the son of Abdullah, who is the son of Hayyani, who is the son of Sinhaj, who is the son of Malalu Sunhaji. Sinhaji, Sunhaji, both. So this nasab, we need a reference for it. We cannot just speak without qualifying where we're getting the statement. So Mufti Ridaul Haqsab's kitab, Ad-Durratul Farda, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda, you can find it there. This nasab, Allama Safadi, was passed away in the year 764 of the Hijri calendar, 764 of the Hijri calendar, has recorded in his kitab Al-Wafi Bil-Wafiyah. Al-Wafi Bil-Wafiyah. This is mentioned there. Allama Safadi says Abu Hayyan Andalusi, who passed away 744 Hijri. Abu Hayyan Andalusi is passed away then, has written the lineage of Allama Busayri in this manner. So it comes from a source, everything recorded. The author, Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi. So we know already that he is more commonly known as well according to the place. Sometimes you come from a certain place, there you are attached to that place. So you'll say, this person, yeah. So a person comes from Malaysia. So you say, the Malaysian, to refer to, specify who you're referring to exactly. So that's one way also. So the author, Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was from a branch of the Sinhaj, Sunhaji tribe, and that is known as Banu Habnun. Banu Habnun. So the father, if you look at it, the father of Allama Busayri, he was from this homeland of Busayr. And his mother was from a place called Dilas. So from the angle of family, he was known as Sinhaji. Due to the place of birth, he was known as Dilasi. And due to the place of residence, he is known as Busayri. Let that digest. From the angle of family, he is known as Sinhaji. From the place of birth, from the angle of the place of birth, he is known as Dilasi. And from the, due to the place of residence, he is known as Busayri. When was he born? Famously, it is known that he was born in the year of the Hijri calendar, 608. Others have also recorded 607. Some have also went to the extent of 610, right? 608. So we are currently in 1445. So that is, we're going back, rewinding to the year 608. Either 608, some say 607, some say 610. But it has been agreed upon that he was born on a Monday, the 1st of Shawwal. Allama Muqrizi now has said, and he passed away, Allama Muqrizi, he's passed away in the year 845 Hijri calendar. So let's not confuse you too much with the years, etc. What you need to know, when was Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi born? It was in the year 608 of the Hijri calendar. First Shawwal, on a Monday, he was born. So, others have said 607, 610. When did he pass away? Allama Muqrizi mentions 695 AH. Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi has passed away. Nawwarallahu marqadahu. Allama Suyuti Rahmatullah Alayhi has also agreed with the stance that Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi passed away in 695 of the Hijri calendar. So, when you look at Banu Habnum, where is this here, this clan, Banu Habnun? It is a major branch of the North African Berber Sanhaji, the Sanhaji tribe. Today, if you go, my parents were in Egypt, so I mentioned a few places, but this year, Iskandariya, it's the north, there's a masjid there in Iskandariya. Imam in Egypt, Imam Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi Masjid, it's called Imam Busayri Masjid, right? They say Alexandria, so we say Iskandariya. We must know the Islamic terms, like it's not Gaza, it's Gaza, you would say like that. So this is in Egypt. So Egypt, and if you look at the Rafah border, it's very close. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah Alayhi, he was born in Gaza and he passed away in Egypt. So coming back, our author of Qasida Burda, Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi, his honorable ustad was Abul Abbas Mursi Rahmatullah Alayhi, his close sheikh and ustad, Abul Abbas Mursi Rahmatullah Alayhi. If you see on his shrine, this is Allama Busayri Rahmatullah Alayhi's shrine, these stanzas have been recorded there. What are these stanzas? Dhalamtu sunnata man ahya dhalama ila anishtakat qadamahu dhur anishtakat qadamahu dhurram yu warami وشد من سغب أحشاءه وطوى. So these stanzas, ظَلَمْتُ سُنَّةَ مَنْ أَحْيَى الظَّلَامَ إِلَىٰ, I transgressed the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who passed his night, who passed the night in ibadah. He says, I transgressed, meaning he says he's admitting, and this is what we should become, admit to our weaknesses instead of having this pride and arrogance to bloat ourselves to such a level that we're not. He's admitting that, and he's saying that the praise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is such, and look at my condition. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend the nights to such an extent, we go to the stanza 2, this is all mentioned in chapter 3 by the way. We're just saying what is written on the shrine of Allama Busayri rahmatullahi. أَنِشْتَكَتْ قَدَمَاهُ الدُّرَّ مِيُّ وَرَمِي, until his feet complained of injury due to being swollen. وَشَدَّ مِنْ سَغَبٍ أَحْشَاءَهُ وَطَوَى, and he tied and folded on account of hunger around his stomach. So this is Allama Busayri rahmatullahi. And he, at this, all these stanzas, the one also is mentioned, تحت الحجارة كشحا مطرف الأدمي, this last one I didn't add it in the Arabic, a stone beneath which lies his delicate skin. Look at the sunnah, the way of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sacrifice so much, and Allama Busayri rahimullah is saying, I have transgressed the sunnah. He would stay awake and do all of this. We end off with this year. How many of the sunnahs of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam have we transgressed till today? We walk about with no concern, no conscience. It doesn't bother us. We just move about like nothing. Think, I just told you his birth, 608, it's mentioned. Some say 610. And when you looked at when he passed away, people have mentioned 695, confirmed by Allama Suyuti rahmatullahi alayhi, 695 Hijri calendar. We are in 1445. Go back and see, almost more than 700 years back, and still his kitab is preserved and we are studying this kitab. Allah Azza wa Jal grant you love for the sunnah, myself love for the sunnah. There must be something special when you love Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Azza wa Jal honors you even in this world. We end off, and this is the statement that is mentioned. Ibn Hajar Haythami rahmatullah alayhi would say, Kana min ajaibillah fi nathri wa nadmi. He was from the extraordinary signs of Allah in terms of prose and versifying. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.